Chapter 14. Past and Future. As Fenris stood among the armored ranks in Darktown and listened to Captain Cullen, Commander Cullen now, he reflected that this was not even the full force of the Inquisition. Scouts had been sent ahead into the tunnels. Routes had been found, or in some cases blasted through the rubble of ancient cave-ins. There was no easy way to get an army down into the depths, and the most obvious route had, in any case, been destroyed by Merrill's witchcraft when they last passed through the tunnels. Instead, multiple small squadrons would converge on the buried temple through various side passages. The demon defended the gate. It would have to be at least distracted in order to buy the elven mages time to perform whatever magic Solas deemed necessary. Hawk meant to be the distraction. Fenris meant to see to it that he did not get killed. Llewellyn had taken the time to speak to him before the chaos began.
"Show me your hands," she'd said.
Fenris raised an eyebrow and held them out, red-tinted, spoiled.
"We'll fix this,"
Llewellyn had said. Now she stood between Merrill and Solas, waiting for the sign, the goddess's amulet at her breast. Fenris had chosen his place, with Hawk's group, shoulder to shoulder with Aveline. Varric would join them in a moment. Hawk was shifting his weight impatiently, waiting, as Cullen conferred with various bands of warriors. Fenris tipped his head back slightly and reached for calm. He could not afford to be this pathetic, not now. A difficult battle lay ahead, against a very dangerous enemy. He could not, must not, allow personal concerns to distract him. Yet, he thought Hawk was avoiding looking his way, too.
"He is,"
a voice cut in on his thoughts. Fenris startled hard. He had not seen the boy approaching. An Inquisition agent, one of Llewellyn's associates. There was something vaguely familiar about him. But it took Fenris a moment to remember a summer night in Skyhold, when he had watched Varric bringing up the rear of the Inquisitor's train and chatting easily to a pale youth in a big hat. The young man fixed him with an unnerving, blinking stare. The hat cast strange shadows on his face.
"You have something that doesn't belong," he said.
Fenris gave him the look that normally made strangers go away. The boy ignored it.
"It wants to belong," he said. "It heard him hurting, and it wanted it to be real. It wants to be, but it knows it never can, not really. Like me, I was dead already, too."
He tipped his head slightly. The shadows on his face changed. His eyes were hidden now.
"You want to belong, too. You think you can't. One more pain among so many. You try to make them into armor. You hold the hurt so close you think it's who you are."
A pause.
"I'm sorry. I wish I could help."
He turned his face the other way, like a bird trying to get a better view. That was the strangest about him, Fenris thought, trying to ignore the pounding of his heart at the words. Nothing in the way he moved looked human.
"You aren't dead yet," the pale youth said. "I would have killed you once, but dead isn't better, really. It's just dead."
Fenris stared at him.
"And there's a friendship that probably isn't meant to be. Cassandra was looking for you, kid," said Varric.
The boy blinked at him.
"If I look for her, too, perhaps we'll find each other," he said.
"That's the spirit," said Varric. "Off you go." Fenris watched him wander away, limbs moving ever so slightly out of time. "What is he?" he said.
"Now, that's a little complicated. If I put it in a book, no one would believe me. He used to be a spirit," said Varric. "But what he is now is anyone's guess, really. His name's Cole."
"He said he would have killed me."
"Believe it or not," said Varric, "that's Cole's way of being friendly, "You keep strange company in the Inquisition," said Fenris eventually. "You hold the hurt so close." It said something for the last month Fenris had had, though having such a creature listening to his thoughts had not frightened him more.
"I wish I could help,"
was better than the desire demon's laughter and promises. Better by far than the greedy understanding of the beast that lived in the dark under Kirkwall. Varric blinked.
"What, that's it? No, rawr, magic bad?"
"You already know my feelings on magic," said Fenris. "I could shout about it if that would make you feel better."
"That's all right. Save it for later," said Varric. "That is, if there is a later. Am I the only one who's noticed that every time we fight this thing, we lose?"
Fenris shrugged. But Hawk must have overheard. He turned around with a grin.
"There's no need to be defeatist, Varric," he said. "Just because it's 1,000 years old, unbelievably strong, commands an army of corpses, hates the world of men." He paused. "What was I saying again?" "That there's no need to be defeatist," said Varric. "I've got to admit, I was hoping for something heroic and motivational at the end."
"The power of friendship is sure to win the day," Hawk said.
"I think we tried that," Varric said.
"The people united can never be brutally dismembered by an angry demon," Fenris snorted. Hawk cast a tiny flicker of a smile in his direction. "I'll work on it," he said. Fenris looked away. Out of the corner of his eye, he saw the smile slip from Hawk's face.
"You'd better," Varric said. "We need to be pretty damn motivated by the time we get down there. Shame you can't pull out whatever it was you did to kill Nightmare."
Hawk made a face.
"Believe me, I would if I could," he said. "I don't control courage. It just happens."
The old mining tunnels had not improved in the least since the last time Fenris had been in them. The smell was the worst part. Centuries of death and sewage had combined to create such a fetid stench that it was actively unpleasant to breathe. Fenris kept his sword in his hand and an eye to Aveline's lead, and tried not to think too much about having Hawk at his back. It was a strangely two-edged feeling, knowing Hawk was there. Fenris was angry with him, and grieved beyond measure, and humiliated. But underneath that, there was the old comfort of knowing Hawk was simply there, utterly reliable, a force to be reckoned with in any battle. The tunnels twisted and turned. When they met corpses, they killed them.
"The veil is thin here,"
said Varric in portentous tones as they stood over a pile of the dead. They all looked at him.
"What in Maker's name are you talking about?" said Aveline.
"What?"
"Varric," said Hawk. "You are a dwarf." "Shit, really? What gave it away?" Varric said. "Look, I felt like someone should say it. It just doesn't seem right to be walking through a horrible ancient ruin without someone going on about metaphysical weight loss."
Fenris glanced down and away, covering a smile he could not hold back. Yes, it was strange, this. Strange to be in Kirkwall. Strange not to be alone. Strange to listen to his companions, his friends, joking with one another in the midst of horrors the way they had done so many times before. He had missed this. He would miss this, despite everything. They went on through the tunnels. They killed more corpses. Hawk frowned at the Inquisition scout's map by the light at the tip of his staff until Aveline sighed and took it from him and turned it the right way up.
"How are your hands doing?" Varric murmured as they argued.
"No worse than before," Fenris said.
"Any visions, hallucinations, paranoia?"
"I might be hallucinating your chest hair," said Fenris.
"I'm not kidding around, elf,"
Varric said. By the steady, clear light coming from Hawk's staff, Fenris could see the worried crease between his eyebrows. I've seen too much of what this stuff does to people. What it did to Bartrand.
Fenris looked away. No, he said. Not yet. He could feel Hawk looking at him. A memory went with the look. Hawk and the Hanged Man staring down at Fenris's hands in his. Hawk thought, abruptly, that he did not regret it. Did not regret anything. If he had not touched the blighted orb when he had, they might never have made it into the Fade, might never have found Hawk. That was enough for him. He flexed his hands a time or two without looking at them. They did not feel any different from the days of poisoning. A little stiff, perhaps. He might have been imagining it. Aveline found the passage they sought. They kept moving. Occasionally, they heard strange rumblings and groanings in the deep dark. Once, the clash of steel. Another Inquisition party somewhere in the tunnels, perhaps. Fenris was braced for whispers, but none came. He was not fool enough to think that meant the demon would spare him. It knew him. It was waiting. They saw the glimmer of Veilfire in good time. They entered the Tevinter Temple by way of a hole some scout with a knowledge of mining had carefully cut in the tunnel floor. They dropped down into the high arched corridor, and Hawk immediately looked upwards, wide-eyed, to where the dragon statue's gemstone eyes glittered evilly under the flying buttresses.
I can't believe this place was under Kirkwall, he said.
I can't believe this place was under Kirkwall and no one looted it.
Well, wonders never cease, Aveline said wryly. All right, we need to join the others for the battle. Let's...
There was a rumbling overhead. Fenris heard the low, malignant laughter on the very edge of something that was not really hearing, and did not even have time to shout a warning. He moved without thinking. He did not need to think. He knew exactly how the demon worked. He knew exactly what it would do. He heard Hawk get out the first syllable of his name and nothing more as Fenris slammed into him. And then they were falling together, a tangle of limbs and armor, Hawk's staff clattering out of his hands as they rolled, and the temple's arched ceiling fell in behind them. Fenris thought he had seen Aveline leap for Varric and drag him the other way. He prayed he had, prayed as sincerely as he knew how. Dust was settling around them. There was a massive heap of rubble where the four of them had been standing a moment ago. No sign of what lay beyond, no way past. A broken dragon's head with jeweled eyes lay at Fenris's feet. If there was a maker, if there was anything, the demon would not stop there. Fenris looked around. The two of them were alone in the gloom. There were four passageways leading off this corridor. He could already hear the soft shuffling footsteps of the dead. Too many. Far too many. There was not time to think about the others. About the Inquisition's battle, about the warmth and strength of Hawk underneath him. He stood up and dragged Hawk up after him.
We have to, said Hawk.
Run, said Fenris. We have to run. They ran, and the armies of the dead pursued them. There was nowhere to make a stand. Every corridor left them open to ambush and flanking, and every arched hallway seemed to join up with another. The temple was a maze, and the demon knew it better than they did. Its puppet corpses hounded them ever onwards. And though now and again they stopped, and Hawk blasted the dead with fire as Fenris cut them down, it seemed to serve no purpose. There was no end to the horde. They should have met with others. There should have been a dozen different parties of Inquisition soldiers down here in the maze with them. There was no one.
Listen! Hawk yelled over the shrieking of an arcane horror at an intersection. I wanted to say,
not now, Hawk, Fenris shouted. The arcane horror aimed a bolt of spirit magic at him. He chopped its arm off. Hawk set it on fire. They ran.
Leave him,
he heard as they stumbled up and down twisting stairways under the glittering gaze of dragon sculptures.
Let him pay the price for his corruption.
Hawk is not one of your magisters, Fenris snapped. What? Yelled Hawk. They were fighting more corpses. I was not talking to you. They cut down the last of the wave. Hawk leaned on his staff, panting. Fenris could hear soft rustlings in the gloom. There would be more corpses in a minute. About the other night, Hawk said. I owe you an apology. Fenris rolled his eyes. Not now, Hawk. He looked around. A charred robe containing a half-rotted skeleton had collapsed in the corner. It was missing an arm. The arcane horror from before. Fenris cursed into Veen. We have been going in circles, he said. It will chase us until we can run no more. Or until it managed to split them up, he thought. It was Hawk the thing hated. It was Hawk it wanted. Fenris would not let that happen. We need to find a way out of this maze, Hawk said. We can't be the only people alive down here. There were a dozen Inquisition parties. If we... Fenris saw movement. Go! And again they were running. Now that Fenris was aware of what the demon was doing to them, the whole thing felt infinitely futile. He recognized the sculptures as they passed under them. The chips and breaks in the stairways were familiar. They passed the gory remnants of their own battles against the demon's puppets, but every passageway they tried led back to the same familiar corridors. They were caught like rats in a trap, buried in the dark for the demon's pleasure. Fenris felt his despair growing, and with it came the sound of the demon's voice. How is he different? You should know better. You, of all people, little wolf, look how he hurts you. Why should his life be worth so much? He swore at the voice and ignored Hawk's shouted inquiry. Somewhere nearby, there was the sound of clashing metal. Fenris could picture it perfectly. Steel rising up from nothing, slamming together into full armor. Revenant. They would not survive one of those. Not even if Fenris used the markings to fight. Which he had not. Not yet. But behind them lay only more of the same maze, leading back to the same place. Sooner or later it would catch up with them. He looked at Hawk and found Hawk already looking at him. It was, strangely, a moment of perfect understanding. Here then, Hawk said. Fenris nodded. It would let you go, said Hawk. Wouldn't it? Perhaps, Fenris said. You should... Fenris glared at him. All right, it was just a suggestion, said Hawk. Fenris shook his head and readied his blade. He would die first, he thought, which was as it should be. A sound of heavy footsteps echoed through the ancient archways. Armored footsteps, unmistakable, drawing nearer. Hawk braced his staff on the ground and spread his hands wide. There was a glitter around his fingers, which Fenris felt thrumming through his skin. Fire and lightning. It would not be enough. Fenris closed his eyes for a moment. When magic whipped through him, it burned. Burned everywhere, and his hands felt, for a bare instant, as though he had dipped them into boiling water. A pain so sharp and bright, it was almost not pain at all. Fenris opened his eyes again, and the corridor was as bright as he had seen it, lit by the lyrium glow. Crimson edges to the white light. He could feel the numbness crawling up his arms. When he glanced down, the red was advancing fast enough that he could actually see the change happening. In moments, it was almost to his elbows. Fenris stopped looking. It hurt. Oh, it hurt. But he did not fear the pain. He turned to face the monster that was coming for them. I can't do this, Hawk said. His voice was shaking. He reached out. His hand passed through Fenris's ghostly shoulder. Fenris, please! I chose you long ago, Fenris thought. And I am still glad I chose you. You changed my world, whether I liked it or not. When all I knew was misery, you showed me 1,000 ways I was wrong. Again and again, you made me laugh. He opened his mouth to say something, some of that, any of it. But what came out was, I would far rather die for you than live without you. Hawk laughed, an awful sound. Well, I don't like that plan. Too late, Fenris said. And he might have said more, but then a thrill of magic went through him that was not Hawk's and did not come from the Vengeance Demon either. And just as the Revenant came into view, silhouetted by Veilfire beneath the dragon-carved arch where the corridor turned, he heard a voice that was not the demon's whisper.
Past and future.
He was so surprised he let the lyrium burn go. And when it was gone, something still shone. Fenris reached into his belt pouch and brought out the ring from the fade. It was glowing so brightly that the glitter was visible through cloth. It burned in his hand like a miniature star, quickly growing so hot that Fenris had to drop it, but it never reached the floor. The white gleam of it shifted and grew and spread broad wings, and for a moment Fenris saw the ghostly shape of a crow, black inside, the white, like, dazzle from the sun. Then it fell again, changing as it fell, growing into the shining form of a human girl with a staff already in her hand. She turned and smiled at them, Bethany Hawk's smile, which was very much like her brother's, something that didn't belong, a spirit that dreamed of being a ghost, a memory. Magic blossomed around her. More magic, surely, than this mage girl had possessed in life. Fenris had a vague feeling, or perhaps had been told once, that Hawk was the more gifted of his siblings. But the billowing clouds of light the spirit summoned to her hands were well beyond anything a human mage could bring to bear. Curtain after curtain of spirit magic went up across the hallway, barriers overlapping and fine-threaded as spider silk, and the Revenant stumbled into them and went to its knees. The spirit pointed at a wall, and what looked like solid masonry simply melted away.
Quickly!
She cried. Her voice had a strange echo to it. You! Hawk said.
Go!
Said the spirit.
I'll catch up with you.
When Hawk did not move, Fenris grabbed his arm and dragged him. Hawk looked back, once, twice, to where the sounds of battle echoed behind them. The Revenant's roar and the clash of steel. It was only when the spirit appeared beside them again, running flat out with her robes hiked up in one hand, that he relaxed.
This way!
It cried, pointing them through another unfamiliar archway. Fenris felt, rather than heard, the rising rage of the Vengeance Demon as it realized it had been robbed of its prey.
Interference!
Its voice hissed from everywhere and nowhere. Down! The spirit shouted. And there was a stairway, and they stumbled down. A white crow flew past them and turned back into a human figure at the foot of the stairs. She darted ahead, down the corridor, and Fenris heard the corpses before he saw them. His sword was in his hands. He noticed, in passing, the curl of red lyrium now well past his elbow, marking his tricep. And the girl was beside him, and then Hawk was, too. They fought the same way, the same tricks of countering and staff work, but she used blasts of blue spirit magic where Hawk threw fire. Through there! She cried, when the corpses had fallen. Fenris balked for a moment, and the girl reached out to pull him on. All the lyrium in him sang at her touch, not with pain, but with a strange and terrible awareness. It was a jangled, mismatched chorus, and the spirit snatched its hand away, looking horrified. And then they were through that doorway, and the next, and Fenris saw the corpse of a scout in an Inquisition uniform, and almost before it registered, they were in the final room before the gateway, where they had seen the memory of Corypheus and the others standing beneath the archway that looked like the jaws of a dragon. Hawk drew in a sharp breath. There was carnage here. The Vengeance Demon's attention had not, it seemed, been all for Hawk.
Many Inquisition soldiers lay among the fallen bodies of the long-murdered slaves, but Fenris did not see anyone he knew. No sign of Meryl or the rest of Llewellyn's companions, nor of Llewellyn herself. And then they heard once more the dire rattle of steel. Fenris turned and saw the revenants. 4 converging on them from all directions. The spirit came to rest beside them. Her staff was in her hand. "Keep going," she said. "Help the others seal the gate." Its features blurred a little, as if losing its grip on its shape. "End it," it said, and then it turned to Hawk and seemed to settle as Bethany again. It reached out for him with faintly glowing hands. "I loved you," she said. "I'm just a memory, but I know I did." "Wait." But the spirit turned away, another of those pale spider silk barriers appearing, halving the room. The spirit stood alone on the far side with the 4 revenants around her, and Hawk and Fenris were on the other side. The monsters showed no mercy. Hawk would have watched the whole, white-faced under his beard, if Fenris had not dragged him away. They stumbled together down the obsidian stairway inside the dragon's jaws. Hawk stopped and leaned against the wall for a moment. "Well," he said, "thank the Maker Carver wasn't here for that." "Are you well?" said Fenris. Hawk laughed tiredly. "Why wouldn't I be?" Fenris's mind was full of a day that now seemed very long ago, of Hawk at his shoulder as he stared down at Varanya, whose face meant nothing to him. Hawk's urgent words of restraint. Hawk, to whom family mattered more than anything. "You just watched your sister get killed," he said quietly. "She was only a spirit," Hawk said. "She wasn't real." He made a face. "She turned up once Nightmare was gone and started following me around. I don't know why she imprinted on Bethany. I talk to her sometimes, because believe me, the Fade is miserably lonely if you don't talk to the spirits. But that doesn't mean she... I mean, it doesn't mean I..." He fell silent. Fenris had seen that empty look on his face before. Hawk had turned to him with that same shadowed distance in his eyes on the night his mother had died and said, "Is it my fault?" And Fenris had done his inept best to offer comfort, knowing full well that Hawk was barely listening. "Only a spirit," Hawk murmured again, his mouth twisted at the corner in something a stranger might have mistaken for a smile. "Well, as usual, everyone I love gets killed," he said. "Surprise, surprise. Let's go. They're gonna need us down there, assuming anyone's still alive." And then he was running down the obsidian stairs, and Fenris followed. It was easy. It had always been easy to follow Hawk. Hawk had a way of making it easy to listen to him. Easy to go along with what he said. Easy to... Fenris stopped short as they entered the great cavern at the heart of the temple. There was the altar, the gate, the high spikes of red-tinged rock that Meryl had made with her spell, half of them blasted to rubble now. There were piles of corpses, seemingly barely diminished for how freely the demon had been making use of them. There, in the midst of it all, was the mighty and ghostly form of the Vengeance Demon, assaulted on all sides by what remained of the Inquisition forces. Varric was there, and Aveline. Llewellyn, Solas, Meryl, half a dozen others whose names Fenris did not know. He barely saw them. The dead woke to aid the monster, fell around it. It shrieked and roared its ancient anger. Hawk was 2 steps ahead of Fenris, already lifting his hands to summon a firestorm. And Fenris was thinking of the boy in the Fade, who had listened twice over to the story of his mother's murder and then said, "I would never let that happen." "Hawk," he said. And Hawk heard and turned back towards him. Despite it all, Fenris thought. Despite everything. Hawk turned towards him.
Hawk had burned Knight Commander Yesselt to cinders when she nearly killed Fenris, and then smiled when he said goodbye. He had barely been able to look at Fenris when they met in the Fade. He had kissed him like it hurt in the empty taproom of the Hanged Man. Memory after memory fell into place as the pattern unwound itself in perfect clarity. Fenris stared at him in flat disbelief.
What? Said Hawk. Is there something on my face?
You fool, said Fenris, barely aware of the chaos all around them. He stepped forward, once, twice, and then his hands were in the fur at Hawk's collar, knotted tight in growing rage. You unspeakable idiot, he said. You coward.